kanssani on here with me Sepide Raha, artist, researcher, or what would be the right title for you?
Artist.
Artist, not a researcher. Or are you a researcher?
I am a researcher, actually. Hello. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me here.
It's so nice to have you here. You are one of the artists in this year's Helsinki Biennale. Yes. And there is one, how would I say, three-channel video installation that is by you. And the name of this piece is Tarom Hashemi. Did I get this all right?
It's only part of it.
Okay,
it's
a part just, of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have been invited this year and I'm very, really glad. Actually, last year I knew already I received the invitation. The title of my piece is Songs to Earth,
okay,
Songs
okay, okay.
to Seeds.
Okay. Okay, I got that immediately in the start. It went.
It's totally okay.
Okay, but the installation is when you entered the studio, we immediately started to talk about rice. So basically, the installation is about your family and the story of cultivating rice.
Yes, that's true. Actually, yeah. Last year. And slightly before that, I had a conversation with my dad, who is living in Iran. I'm originally from Iran. And now more than 11 years, I have been living in Finland. And I had a conversation with him. He was saying he's very tired. He's now almost 70 years old. And he was talking that, yeah, I'm going to stop cultivating rice. And I had this vivid image, memory of my aunts singing and while cultivating rice in the paddy lands, and I decided to go there and start the project. And usually my work is around womanhood and storytelling and everyday life. And I have worked in the last 10 years around the topic of immigration, with immigration, about immigration, and also my own personal life, because I immigrated to Finland. And I decided I want to work with a different topic, with my memory of childhood or family heritage of rice cultivation, that almost 100 years in my family. My grandpa, who has been over 100 years old, he was cultivating, and then he gave it as a heritage to his children. And my dad was very interested and he cultivated rice. So I wanted to work with that. But specifically, I was interested in the ritualistic process of this cultivation. And I wasn't fully aware myself, coming from a farming family, at least from my father's side. And I thought maybe it is interesting. Today, we talk a lot about sustainability and climate change and crisis, environmental crisis. And sustainability is really important factor, and how we can support the local farmers. I think this is one solution, in my opinion.
Yes, and I saw some pictures that you showed me about the installation, that there's a lot of, how do you say it, like this haptic contact with the rice and like touching the seeds, and it's really concrete, the relationship between the food and the human being. And this is something that I feel that often is nowadays is sort of like lost a little bit, the connection, that where does this food come from? And when you have this, like all these images that you plant the plant yourself, and then you wait, and then you harvest it, and then you eat it, it becomes like super real or something like that.
Exactly. I had, for instance, I had a conversation with myself. This is how the project started. And I thought, how can I expand it to or today's contemporary life of consuming food? Because as you said very clearly, we have been missing a lot of this process is missing. We just receive an end product from a shop and we don't know how much effort and care is put in production of a simple grain, which is not simple, actually. A lot of knowledge is put from different geographies in the world. So my question was that how something that is produced or happening elsewhere can affect our life here in this geography. We might be very different. We might have like geographical distances, but the rice that is produced in Iran is being consumed in Finland. I have seen several different kinds of rice in the shops in East Helsinki or elsewhere in Leppävaara, different places, different shops, they sell them. So for me, I thought it might be very interesting for people, locals in Finland as well. What does it mean to produce rice? And I remembered one very vivid image of conversation that our dad had with us, that every rice grain, you should not throw it in the trash bin, because 6 to 8 months effort has been put to produce and cultivate and harvest rice. So there is a disrespectful respect towards food. We never throw rice or bread as well. And I'm sure in Finland there is rye and, you know, oats, and it's very, very much important grain here for production of bread or other kind of food. So I thought that, it's because there is also guilt, you know, the feeling of guilt that a lot of people feel guilty about their way of consumption. And I thought maybe if I portray this poetic and lengthy production of the rice grain, maybe there will be respect. And this respect, respectful way of looking at the food grain, that is seeds, is very important for all of us on this planet, can change also people thinking and way of treating the rice, for instance, or other kind of food.
Tell us a little bit what is happening. What happens in the installation? What kind of images we see?
Okay, actually, it is not only a video. It's actually a film in 3 channels, and it's immersive. There is like over 9 meters. A screen is in front of you, and when you enter, it's the old Bunker Gum magazine, one of the old bunkers in the Vallisaari. And then at the end of the bunker, there is a different, there is another installation, part of the main installation. I brought actually the original rice, this Tarom Hashemi, which is a very specific local rice grain. I heard from villagers and my dad that there has been other kind of rice that they have vanished because they could not tolerate the climate change. But this specific grain has been very great without any genetically changing or modification. It can adapt itself. It has been possible to adapt itself to the environment in that area. And it's one of the best one. My dad wants to make it organic, but it's impossible because of all the sanctions against Iran. The farmers really don't receive the very good, not too harmful to the environment, pesticides or other kind of products. That's why other rice farmers, they use a lot of chemicals, and water comes in a step manner from the first land to the last land. So water brings those chemicals and contaminates the soil.
Oh, that is so interesting. But okay.
I can say a little bit about the installation. Yes, because yes. When you come to the room, you hear singing. And I thought that because it's really important to realize that all around the globe, there are people who sing. And I heard that in East Finland, farmers used to sing to the earth while cultivating. So this is very interesting for me. But that memory that I had, that my aunts were singing to the earth, I saw that this is also still alive. And women get these songs from their mothers or from other women in the village. And then the songs contents are their struggles, everyday struggles. But it is also hopeful. So if I can say they sing their daily struggle to the earth while putting the soil in the soil, the plants and seeds, and then with the hope that it will grow, and this hope and care that they give to the plant, it will be cultivated. And from 50 kilos of rice grain, my dad got 1,000 kilos of rice. This is really a miracle of the making. And we know that big corporations, they are manipulating and they're taking their grains. Very political if we want to sing. But my piece doesn't have this very vivid political context. But if somebody wants to sing and contemplate this, there is a lot happening there. And to be honest, women are always present in my life. And they are very also, they are the ones who are giving life. I don't mean by bears, but other ways of giving life. And here also in the video, they are singing and throwing this grain in the paddy lands and then taking care of it. And when the plant is a little bit grown, they put it in the paddy land and it will grow till the end. And in the harvest, they are the one who are doing the harvest and singing to this earth. So I wanted to just portray this poetic process with the question, the way that we consume today, and how do we treat our food, actually?
Yeah, and especially in Finland, that we have, for example, like rice is probably cheaper than potatoes or like homegrown oats or something like that. But the connection, like where does the rice grow, and how do you actually cultivate it? And because there is no rice plants or rice cultivating in Finland, or at least I don't know.
Is it weather does not allow that. It is very in tropical places or hot places it grows, actually.
Yeah, so because there is no such connection, then it's like totally, like from the beginning, it's like cut. You don't know where the rice comes from. And I think it's... how should I say it? As you said, it's quite, there's like 1 million benefits of like actually seeing where does the rice grow, and how does it look like when it grows, and how long does it take to like for a rice, how long does it actually take from the...
Actually, early February, my dad prepares the grain, the seeds, which is the rice with the skin, basically.
Yeah.
And then in March, he was already preparing the seeds and putting water in them. And then they were like rooting. 5 days it takes. And then it is in the video. People can go and check it, actually. I would be really happy if they can go. And then it takes like from February, it took until mid and end of August. And this is not the end, because then the rice itself, with the skin, needs to be processed in another place, and it requires time to be dry, and then they can process it in the factory and remove the skin. So it is a year. Let's see.
A year.
Let's say 9 months at least.
Well, it's a long time.
It is a long time.
But yeah, it's longer than I sort of expected. But okay, I don't know anything about rice. I've been living most of my life here in Finland, so.
But you have been eating rice.
But I have been eating rice.
I don't know even one single person around me who hasn't eaten rice. That is very important. But do we know? I didn't know the process myself very clearly.
But how about rice cultivating in your family nowadays? You said that your grandfather cultivated it and your father.
My uncle, and then now his child. But in one other factor that I did this, because it is a big loss. When my father stops cultivating, nobody else in his family except one of his sisters, who is older than my dad, they are both making rice in a traditional way, which I would say it is a sustainable way. But the other ones, they are using already genetically touched grain. Okay. So it is not the same rice grain. I dislike it. The taste, the smell, I mean, I can say that it's completely different. And when genetically it is modified, we don't know what does it do to our body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody is doing cultivating rice, actually, in his family.
One thing, when you mentioned about the in Eastern Finland, this tradition of singing, there is a, probably, because you've been in Finland for so many years, you know this Karjalan piirakka, this rice, I don't know, piirakka, what that's in English. But anyway, so we have this image of, at least because I'm from Eastern, part of my family is from Eastern Finland, and sort of the Karelian part of our family is very proud of this traditional Karjalan piirakat, which have rice in them. And rice doesn't grow in Karelia, or it doesn't grow like even near here. So the original piirakka, or what's, I don't know what's that in Finland.
Maybe in rice pie, something like that.
That's made from potatoes or from some other grain than rice. But now that we have this, like in all the supermarkets, we have this like 50 cents Karjalan piirakka that has rice in it.
Yes,
and that's totally like not the traditional Finnish thing. But that's what we also sell to the tourists.
But it is how culture is alive, actually. We get from others and then we modify it and then we give to others, right? That is how it is. And food culture is one of the strongest and oldest culture on the planet, I would say. With food, we relate, we can communicate, and we can also make a community through food making. I think food is quite important for everyone, one of us, no matter how different we are from one another.
Yes, it's totally interesting. I also read this one article about the sort of, the name of the article was The Path of Pie or something like that. And it started from China, ancient China, and then it went like from the northern parts of Russia and then ended up in Scandinavia and Germany the northern parts of Europe. And the traditional food, or sort of like the form of food, was like a piece of dough that had rice in it. And wow. we have like dumplings and then these like traditional Russian pelmens or yes. and then in Karelia we have this like rice pie and all these like other things that have the similar sort of it like have the similarity but then there's like thousands of kilometers between them.
Actually, speaking of Asia, because Iran is located geographically in Asia, Asia is the main producer of the second staple, meaning main food of the world, which is rice. Asia annually produces hundreds of millions of rice, and then it travels all around the globe, and people can consume rice, except for Brazil. Brazil also is another place that they produce a lot of rice annually.
Okay.
And Iran, I think 2020, it was in the place of 26. We have also a lot of rice production. But there is a lot of politics also related to that. Some countries, when the harvest time comes, they import lower quality, cheaper rice. And this results to the quitting of the farmers. When they cannot sell rice a little bit above their production cost, then they will lose interest because they need to survive also. The day-to-day cost is not covered by the selling of the rice. So this is also another dilemma, which is also a question in Iran as well. A lot of farmers have been really damaged and a lot of lands have been left and sold. Mm. And the buyers are not really farmers. They use it as villa or it's really yeah. damaging the whole ecosystem of the region.
So is there something that like one consumer here in Finland could sort of what would be the respectful way of like buying rice or is it you mentioned that in Iran it's impossible to make organic rice?
No, it's not. There are farmers okay. but okay. in the village that my dad wants to okay. make the organic because organic means that all the farms need to do organic way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because they have the sustainability, they made the sustainable way, they collect annually throughout the year water rain. And they tackle the lack of water in the summer, which is 36 degree,
okay.
at least. And then, but because the water circulates from other farms to his land, he cannot. Yeah. But there are actually okay. organic rice makers in the same region.
Okay.
I want to say one other thing, because part of my installation, the other part is the rice dolls that women, this is a revived ritual that in the past, ox, the bull, the animal would make prepare the land and then they would collect the last bunches of the rice and then make a doll out of it. And they would hang it from their houses. This is very old tradition. And then that would be symbol of prosperity and wealth. And the next springtime, end of the winter, they would feed this in a ritual. Villagers would gather and then they would feed this to the animal as a thankfulness. I want to say that the relationship between human nature and also other beings have been so different. Maybe people can think about it. If we know how the process is, then our relationship to that food will change as well. In a respectful manner, not in a guilty way. Because mm-hmm. I really dislike this guilt making yeah. and giving guilt to people that yeah. you have to, other people do this. No, I just want, if we are aware, then our relationship to food also changes. Mm-hmm. And there is also one part of my installation on a pot, there is antelope. This mountain goat that was in the ancient Iran over 5,000 years ago, this symbol was used as a protector of earth and protector of the plants. So this is also there depicted on the pot. If people go and visit, they will see that this symbol is, I just imitated it from the old mugs and, you know, ritons that come from the different locations in Plateau of Iran. So I just wanted to also show that the relationship was very different that we as human had with the nature and with the environment. But now it is completely modern life changed us very much.
Yes, and I also think that when the whole sort of chain, one link sort of disappears, then the other links also start to disappear around it. But when you try to somehow fix it, then the result will always be more than just like the fixing of one link. When you sort of last summer I had this small box, like 1 meter, 1 square meter box that I wanted to make potatoes, and I was so proud when I had my first harvest of potatoes, and those potatoes smelled they smelled so good and they tasted so good, and I was so proud of my like 1 kilo of small potatoes. But the relationship to the potato is totally different when you actually but you feel like you know them. These yes. are my potatoes.
Or tomatoes or cucumber, yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
Because we connect again.
Yeah, to some, exactly.
It's so simple, but it is so meaningful. Seeds are really, they are not only source of our life, they are actually foundations of our being. When we put it on the ground and it grows and we harvest, whatever it is coming from that seed, then it completely changes our relationship, of course.
I totally agree. Hey, Sepile Raha, thank you for being here in Radio Helsinki with me, with us. And your installation, Songs to Earth, Songs to Seeds, is at the moment in Helsinki Biennale in Vallisaari.
Yes.
And you can see it once again. It was in the chambers.
In one of the Gone magazines.
Gone magazines, yeah.
Gone magazines, number 14, basically, okay. on the map. When you go to the island, it is marked as number 14. With another artist's work, which is really amazingly related. Asuncion is her first name. I'm not sure about the other part of their name. So it's really nice with the old water system with pots, actually. It's very related to my work.
Amazing. Thank you, Sepide. And it's Juhannus is coming. You have any special midsummer plans coming up? I have to ask.
I wish a very amazing holiday for everybody. Yeah. I will celebrate with my Finnish family. So
okay.
that's going to
yeah.
be great.
Okay.
I wish a very nice time for everybody.